bulletin, if you'll quickly pull that out, it's in your bulletin. Does everybody 100% have bulletins? Yeah. Within it is three questions that we remain anonymous. You can, and if you want to sign your name, that's fine, but it's probably better you remain anonymous. The first question is there, and I want 100%, if you guys could fill this out, there's pens probably in front of you. I hope that there are. And what do you wonder about, or what would you like more understanding about? It gives you a couple of examples why bad things happen to good people. Does prayer really work? What happens when people die? All those questions, again, we'll form a sermon series out of it. We'll categorize it. And I'd like you to just take some time to do that this morning, right now, quickly. Second question is, what do you worry about? What keeps you up at night? What fear do you have? These questions, actually, we've turned them into something that we're asking our community to when we've done the Be the Church outreach, even this past Wednesday. And we got some interesting answers back from our community that we pastor also at apartment complexes and things like that. Number three, what do you dream about doing if money were no object? What could you see yourself doing? What would you love to see? We're going to do these for the next 3 weeks. If you fill out one and you change your mind next week, that's okay. You'll have another chance to write in. But go ahead and give me some complete answers and fill those out. Welcome back, you guys that have been out for summertime. I see some of our young people, and it's good to see you in the house of the Lord. But would you do that for me, 100%? Yeah? One person, thank you, Leonard. Amen. You're the only one going to heaven. Amen. So, amen. The rest of you guys will pray for you, all right? Everybody, we want to just welcome you to Living Faith Church and welcome our first-time guests. If they're here, welcome our first-time guests. Come on, give them a good welcome. Second-time guests, third-time guests. If you would, Irma and I would be so honored to meet you in the church area of our cafe. That's a cafe in the making. So immediately after service, we'll gather there, and we'd love to shake your hand. We'd find it an honor to do that if you came for the very first time, and we'll have a little bit more time to spend with you. So meet us there if you could. Welcome to Living Faith, faith that you can see as we gather, as we grow, and as we go. If you have your message notes in front of you, you'll need those. There's a couple of things that I'd like to tell you about with slides that are happening that just reaffirm in your life how important they are to the church family. Today, right immediately following our service here, we're going to strike this room, which means we're going to tear it down. Most of the chairs will be moved, and this side probably, so I need some mighty men of God to stay and help me move tables and that sort of thing. We'll do our fifth Sunday lunch, which is always a lot of fun. We'll have great fellowship. And so what you need to do is just come back with a side dish. If you didn't get a chance, hey, Churches is up the road, HEB's up the road. Some of y'all like that potato salad that they serve in the big bucket thing. Bring it, amen. Put some paprika on it, amen, and it'll be all good to go. Amen, everybody, yeah. Some of y'all made those good mashed potatoes. We're going to eat good today, so feel free. First Wednesday's coming up. That's our service, the very first of every Wednesday of the month. We do praise. We do worship. We come to the table of communion, and there'll be a special message that we have for this Wednesday that we're going to challenge the people. So I want you to be part of that, especially if you're part of the church family, 7 p.m. And finally, Summer Blast is happening this coming week. We begin Friday and Saturday. We do Friday night, and it goes into Saturday morning. Plenty of food will be served, and our children are going to be ministered to by our children's ministers, and our children lead people. I think Leno's in this service, so Leno's right over here. Wave your hand, Leno. Amen. See Leno, and he'll bless you, and he'll take the lead on that. You need to make sure that you let him know about your children that are coming. There's a registration form for that. And then the rest of us here, that you can help by showing up in the sense of bringing food, bringing the stuff that they assign us to. We want to make that successful. Right, everybody? Yeah, amen. All right, we're excited today. So I'm going to need some help up here in a moment. I'm going to need your encouragement, because the better that you say amen, the better I preach and the quicker I go. So you don't want to stay here for hours, right, everybody? And so, amen. Mike needs prayer, amen, today, because he's doing PowerPoint. So God help us all, amen, today. Just messing with you, Mike, amen. I heard a funny story, and there was this about Adam and Eve, and they were walking in the garden, and Adam was told by God, "You're going to populate the world now, Adam, you and Eve." He says, "Well, how do I do that?" He said, "Why don't you start off by holding her hand?" And he said, "Lord, how do I hold her hand?" And so God taught him how to hold a hand, you know, of Eve. So he came back from behind the bushes, and he said, "Man, that was great, Lord." He says, "I couldn't believe the feeling I had when I held her hand. It was so soft." And he said, "Well, you're going to really like this one. You're going to kiss her next." And he said, Lord, what's a kiss? He said, well, this is how you kiss. And he gave him diagrams and charts. He said, this is how you do it. So he took her again behind the bushes, and he kissed her, put a big, and he came back like in a daze, and he said, that was over the top, God. I can't believe how that felt and the energy that went through me. And I just loved it. He says, well, you're really going to love this one, the next one. Now you're going to make love to her. He says, well, how do I make love? And the Lord taught him diagrams, charts, like it was science, health classes again. And, you know, he taught him, this is what you do. And so he went, and he came back like just a minute later. And he says, Lord, what's a headache? Some of y'all get that at 3 in the morning. And that is funny. I don't care what you say. Amen. It's an honor to speak the word of God to you. Amen. And this morning, and I remember again the series that we're on, I See Red. The first church that I was at, everyone had these big King James Bibles when I was a teenager. And so double this size. And all the they had the versions when I was a kid. Remember that? The King James Version? And so in it, as I began to explore it, it was a red letter edition, and I looked at all the places in the red letter, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, primarily where Jesus spoke, and it was fascinating to me. So I took my yellow Sharpie, and I highlighted everywhere where Jesus spoke, and I looked at these words that he spoke, and they were so powerful, and they changed my life as a young person. And the incredible thing about Jesus, he did this all in just 3 years. See, some of us take a lifetime, and we talk a whole bunch. By the way, it takes a year to talk, but it takes a lifetime to really learn to speak. You'll get that again one day. Because we say a bunch of things, but we really don't speak right in the things that we should say. And so Jesus for 3 years spoke these words that are still, they're still making it today. Man, they're still add value. They still are mandates to us in our lives, right, everybody? They change us. They minister to us. I say something, keep the AC at 78. My children, you know, crank it down to 70, you know, at 69. So my words really don't count. How about Jesus' words, right? They mean something. They change our lives when they're spoken and there's something of significance. And so what I love is that we these last few weeks we looked at Jesus' final words. He said little bursts of just words, phrases. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Not big, long words, but these phrases, my God, why have you forsaken me? And they're still adding to our lives today. And even at the cross, when Jesus had his worst day ever, he gave these words of wisdom to us that we still look at and we still look at today that means something or very significant to everyone's life. In John 19:29, I believe on the big screen and in your handout, you can look at that in your Bible Gateway or your phone or your real Bible, right? Everybody has maybe a printed Bible today. Jesus announces these words. And the jar of sour wine was sitting there. And so he soaked up a sponge and put it on a hyssop branch. And they held it to his lips. Verse 30 says, when Jesus tasted it, he said, it is what? And he bowed and his head and he gave up his spirit. Now, it wasn't a bow of like giving up. It was a gracious bow of just surrendering what was. This is the sixth saying on the cross of the seven. The final one in another gospel says this that we're not exploring today, that Jesus commended his spirit to his Father Heaven. And I find that so fascinating that a man could be in total control, that he was so much spirit that his soul and his human flesh didn't take over, where he just died immediately of something, of a heart attack or gave up. One day he was walking and he just dropped dead. You hear those stories. Jesus, at that very point, surrendered because he was so much spirit that he even announced to his flesh, you're not going to drop dead today. I'm commending my spirit to my Father. Now, that's not real deep today, but can we get to that point that we become so spiritually set that we're more spirit than flesh? Do y'all get that this morning? That we're even announcing to the flesh man, no, you're not taking me, I'm taking you. And that's why we can surrender properly. And that's what, you know, we move towards. So when Jesus said it was finished, what was finished? You know, did he say, I am finished? No, he said, The finish was the debt that was paid for humanity's sin, of course. And you think about the great debt that that was, that the payment, whenever someone would say that in the culture of Jesus, it is finished, it was really announcing that the debt was, it was a happy word. It was saying, yeah, you ever pay that bill off finally? The car payment, the last one, man, you celebrate. Maybe you go out to eat, right? You do something, or you finally, man, we don't have to make any car payments. Our layaway finally got, you brought it finally home after all those years, right? The credit card bill gets finally paid, and you're rejoicing about it. And so this was a happy saying of declaration that all that debt, mission accomplished. I did it. I paid it off for everybody. And it was a good day for us that day. It was Jesus' worst day, but it was our best day that happened. Because he had his worst day, you can have a good day today. Is that okay with everybody? Yeah, and so in Luke chapter 1, verse 68 says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us. Who has he visited today? Yeah, me. Come on, visit me, Lord, today, right? And accomplished, somebody say redemption for his people today. The debt was paid today. Oh, how God brings redemption and the power of salvation to his people's lives today, especially this morning. Well, I'm already saved. No, we're constantly, there's redemption happening in our lives. And someone in the house needs redemption from a situation today. And that's what I'm saying. So there's a purpose in life. The thought is, right there, the bullet point, if you have your notes in front of you, be confident that there is a purpose to the end of our days, end of our bad days today. In the Bible, there are people that were ordinary, just like you and I. What made them extraordinary is when God came, when Jesus walked by them and touched their lives, and he made them extraordinary. They were just like you and me. They had issues. They had problems. They had situations. They had habits they didn't want to do. They had some shortcomings in their lives. No one had arrived in the Bible. And everybody that wanted God's help in the Bible, because there's some heroes there, and there's also some zeros. Everyone that wanted God's help became a hero, became extraordinary. And I'd like that. How about you? Because as tough it is to live through life and to go through life's tough days and experience some things in my life that causes my spiritual confidence to slip, God can show up during my worst day if I look to him, if I ask him to help me, and he makes it extraordinary. He brings me through, everybody, and he'll bring you through. In Luke chapter 8, verse 43, there's been preachers that preach this woman that novices have done it. Nava has done it. Amen. Other people have done it. Seasoned preachers have done it. Even sinners know about this story, which is incredible because it's so well known. There was this woman with the issue of blood that has been bleeding for 12 years. Somebody say 12 years. And she spent all her money on doctors, and no doctor was able to help her and heal her. So somebody say situation here. Somebody say bad situation. No more money, not another plan B or another opinion. Or we have to go to Houston to get this opinion because they have better doctors or something. It wasn't going to happen. She had gone to Houston. She had gone back and forth. She had gone everywhere, and no one could find an answer. But this woman somewhere heard that Jesus was coming through the town, and that if she just touched the, if I can, she thought in her mind, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, the bottom of his tallit, the robe that Jesus wore as a rabbi, if I can just get the fringes of that, then I can be healed. The Bible calls her in other stories the woman with the issue of blood, right? Everybody knows that issue. And so that's kind of important for us this morning for us to remember that. And so the woman came behind Jesus, the story goes, and touched the bottom of his coat. And at that moment, her bleeding stopped. Yeah. Can somebody announce right now it's finished? Because I want to tie the two together today. And I know someone needs to have something finished because Jesus finished something on the cross for us today. Woman in desperate condition, unclean. She couldn't get around people. She snuck through the crowd and disguised herself, wore a mask so she could get next to. And the rabbi that was known at that time was Jesus, where all the crowd was around him. No way she was supposed to be around that rabbi either. It was ceremonially unclean. The law had said that, don't get around him. So she was breaking the law to get to Jesus. And so under a burden for 12 years is a long time, isn't it? I would think so, but there's hope in Jesus. There's faith in Jesus, and if we have that today, he redeems us. I look at this woman and I see a determined spirit. If you're going to get your healing, if you're going to get to move to the next level, whatever age that you're at today, there's still some determination. Who's still breathing in this room? It shows that God has a plan for your life. It shows that God has something just that you can do today, that there must be some determination to go on with what God, just like this woman. So tough days come. And if we forget the plan of God during that tough day, and bad days come, but they come to an end, we cannot forget the truth. I heard a funny story about a mother that tried to wake up her son for church. And, you know, he's saying, I don't want to go. I don't want to go, and I'll give you two reasons why I don't want to go to that church. I don't like them, and they don't like me. And then the mom shouted back, said, you're going, and I'm going to give you two reasons why you're going to go today. Number one, you're 47 years old. And number two, you're the pastor of the church. Yeah. You got to remember the truth. Amen. There's a purpose and end to your tough day. Amen. No promotion comes at times. We have a tough day. We lost a loved one. It's a tough season. And children are breaking your heart, your grandchildren. Sour relationship. We all face things that are tough and seasons that we go through. But beloved, God has announced today that He wants to bring you through that mission, that it can say it's mission accomplished. That bad day turned flip side and it turned into something beautiful. Your season of lack now has come to a season of plenty and God's goodness in your life. And I know that there's believers in this room with me that are believing that. I gave you some bullet points right there about what Pastor Jack Hayford said about bad days that I'd like to just reiterate with you right now. Number one is this: no struggle needs ever again to be, somebody say, pointless. Yeah. When Irma and I have struggled in our home, bills to be paid, our health situations that have come, something happened right when I turned 40. Amen. She's still 39. Amen. Looking good. 29, right, everybody? But something. When health situation, or I've asked God this myself, I'm your child, God. Why is this happening? Aren't you my Father in heaven? And where are the promises that you said that I would have all these provisions in my life? And I've wondered about it in my darkest moments. I know I'm the only one up here thinking of that, right, in this church house. I've wondered, God, where's your light in this situation right now? I'm so thankful that God reminds me through His Word that God has children. The song that Mike Medrano led us in, the great song, No Longer Slaves, that God doesn't have any redheaded stepchildren. If you're a redhead here, I'm sorry, amen. But do you know that God doesn't have any grandchildren either, or any stepchildren that He had? All of us are His sons and daughters in this room, firstborn because of what Jesus did. Well, I'm the middle child. And I got, you know, I got the leftover shell. I had to get the hand-me-downs from the clothes. Or we bought, you know, no, God doesn't have middle children. All of them are juniors. Amen. Give me a good amen. All of them look like, you know, we look like our Father in heaven today. You are a child of God. Hit your neighbor and say you're a child, or tap them gently. You're a child of God. Confess that over your life. If they didn't do it, you can look at me. Amen. You're a child of God. Amen. Y'all are just nodding and looking at each other, amen. If you don't help me, I swear I will put you up here on this stage. No, I'm just in Psalms 126, I'll do it too. Psalms 126, verse 5. Let's read it together on the big screen, I think. It's not in your handout. 1, 2, 3. Those that sow in tears. Whoa, 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 whoa. What's going on? You guys eat a good breakfast? Probably not, amen, because the way you're reading, but we can do this better. Come on, everybody. I want to brag on you. Amen. I always have to brag on the first service, and they read. I don't know what happens to them. They just read a lot stronger. Amen. So let's go ahead and do it together. 1, 2, 3. Those who sow in tears. He who goes out weeping. The psalmist man is saying, man, we were hurting. It was a tough day, but God turned it into a new day. Yeah, it was tough out there with what we had to do. We bled, we sweat, and we were tired. We when is this situation going to be over? But God turned it into a new day. I'm so glad for that today. We watch the shows that call the flip the house thing. and on the channel that's on. And I walk by and it's on and it interests me. And sometimes I sit down and I start to watch how these guys can take a house in 30 minutes and they buy a dilapidated, beat up house that needs a lot of gutting, and they gut it all out and then they remodel it to look something, and they flip it. They flip the house. It's called house flip. And they sell it for the $1,000 profit, man. They make all these millions of dollars on these houses by flipping them. And, you know, Irma looks at me and she says, "Why can't you do that?" You know, and I go, "Hey, man, you know, I can wash dishes at least. Give me that, right, everybody?" But the house flipping thing, you know what I feel to tell you? God's about to flip the situation. All that mess, all that remodeling that needs to be done, that makeover that needs to happen in your life, God's going to do it on the inside of your life. I just speak that over your life this morning, that God's about to flip the situation. It's a new season. It's a new day. Amen. Would you receive that right now? Would you take it in and say, "God, it's my day. This purpose, this bad day is going to end. Amen. I need some healing in my life. I need God to." The second bullet point is no suffering never, ever will never be unending. In other words, it's going to end one day. It brings it. Pastor Jack Hayford said, you know, now because of what Jesus did by saying it is finished, there's an end to it. It's never going to say, "Will this thing always last? Is this thing going to be with me forever?" It's going to end today. Your loneliness, amen. You're going to find your spouse one day that God has sent from heaven, those single people here. The loneliness will end and God will provide for you. God has a plan to bring you through. In Psalms 30 verse 5, it says this, "Weeping may remain for the night, but rejoicing comes when?" Yeah. Remember that preacher saying, when you're going through it, you're going through it? He'd shout out to the church house, because you were going through it. Perseverance with faith, not giving up. Perseverance with that faith equals that I'm going to finish strong, that God's going to provide, and I'm going to finish this race. It's okay to start it. It's okay, maybe I didn't start out right, but I'm going to finish strong today. Amen. In the house of the Lord, I'm going to finish strong this season. Whenever I ask people, and I've been given the privilege sometimes to ceremonies, they say, "Get ready for the prayer. You do the prayer during this time." And so I kind of lay out in my head what I'm going to, I've even written it down. If it's a formal function, I read it and I read prayers. And it's something like this: "Oh God, creator of heaven and earth, you've been good. Beseech the people now by your spirit, Lord, that you would wipe away every tear from their eyes as you come now to their situation. And thou doest love us today under an open heaven. Now give your people the resources today from heaven, Lord. Let thy will be done and thy kingdom come." You know, and something like that. There's nothing wrong with that, especially if I read it, right? Because how's he going to remember all that? But when you really pray, it ain't nothing like that. And this woman with the issue of blood, what I notice about her, not even a prayer, she thought. It wasn't like, "I'm going to give this ceremony a prayer and God's going to finally answer us and bring us all that we need." It was a thought: if I just touch him, I'll be healed. If I touch a little bit of the edge, I'll be healed. And sometimes you don't want, see, a formal prayer won't do it when you don't want to know what I pray at home because it's ugly. It's saying something like, "Lord, help me. I need you right now. God, heal us. God, provide," right? And it's okay to pray like a third grader. Give me a good amen. It's okay to pray like you really need the situation, amen. I love those prayers because that's where God meets us, because you're real finally. And you're real before God today, and God doesn't have any pretenses about him today, amen. In the Old Testament, it spoke about a creator that was a redeemer that was coming all the time. From all that Adam messed up on, Adam and Eve in the garden, there was always a time that Jesus was a savior was going to come. The Old Testament prophets announced it. They said, "Someone's coming to redeem Israel. We're not always going to be under this hardship or bondage. In the New Testament, it began to announce it. Then Jesus, John the Baptist, then Jesus shows up on the scene. And he shows up as this redeemer. And anybody, again, that encountered Jesus was redeemed. That Jesus went into their life, God made him better, right, everybody? And I love that. And here's this woman that hears about Jesus, and all that we know about her is that she had this issue. When kings in the Old Testament were announced, they talk about the king, their lineage, and who their father was, begat them. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? Even John the Baptist was given a title that his mom and dad were this or that, and they were all the people that God did something in their life sometimes were given, like, well, they were the son of Nun. Joshua was the son of Nun. Jabez and all, they were all given these titles. Well, this woman, we don't even know her name. We just know that she has an issue of blood. And she's known for that issue. Do you ever get to that point, or have you ever been labeled because all you got is that issue? He's the one that had an affair. They don't even say your name. That's not Bob anymore, Susie, Ted, Larry, anybody. They just say, he's the one that had the affair with the woman. She's the one that likes going out with married men. Because they say the issue. She's the one, the kid that she has in her home, he's on crack. Yeah, he's the one that suffers with alcoholism. He's the one that can't get set free. He's the one that can't hold a job. And it's not even your name anymore. High school students here, middle school students here. Yeah, the label happens even in the hallways, doesn't it? They don't even say the name. They just say, she's the one, she's the one, she's the one, or he's the one. We all have issues. Who's had an issue? Who's had a label in this room? Yeah, I have. We become these people that we're not even, and I think all of Living Faith, all the hearts that are beating in this room, we have issues. So welcome to the family of God. Give me a good amen. Everyone has an issue. We're known for it sometimes. And God is the one that removes the label off of our lives and removes the issue today. And we're known for that today. So she had her issues. But the important thing to realize today, Living Faith and woman with the issue, Jesus headed her way and Jesus is heading your way. He's going to walk by. He's going to make redemption happen for you. And you just got to reach a little bit towards him today. It doesn't take much, but you got to do your part. You give God a little bit, he does a lot with it, right, everybody? And so believe for your miracle right now because Jesus is in the house, and thank God for it today, amen? I'm believing for your miracle today, amen? How about you, yeah? So be confident. Do I have any agreement in the house? I had a hand clap a moment ago, amen? Do I got a stink face in the house right now? Amen. Just going to look at me like that? I'm going to stink face myself. Man, you're preaching good. Yeah. Believe right now with me for your agreement, the agreement. I'm going to believe for you. Does anyone have an issue that they just see God's hand in right now? Yeah, yeah. You're looking. Would you look at me right now if you really believe that? I'm just trying to make eye contact with a couple of people, and everybody else is, yeah, you're staring at me. Good. I'm believing right now in the name. Leave them up. Leave them up. I'm believing right now for that issue in the name of Jesus. And as Jesus comes by, he touches that need in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I'm believing for your miracle right now. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I got mine. How about yours right now? Yeah. I felt something right now in God's house. Amen. Yeah. It says in Timothy that Timothy was being real about his suffering. He was just saying, I have an issue. I'm suffering. The greatest Christian that ever walked the face of the earth, this Paul wrote half of the third of the New Testament, right, everybody? But I'm suffering right now. He's just being real. I have an issue. Yet I'm not ashamed because somebody say, I know. I know in whom I believe. What a good confession. I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. So all that suffering, all that issue, but something striking comes to me that he knows about something. And that's where we need to get this morning today, about our issue. I know this, and I know three principles that I'm going to give you. I want you to discover them with me. And here's it. When I'm asking, where's God? Why is this season not going to end of suffering or questioning? I know this. Number one is this. I know that God... Yeah, God loves you with an everlasting love. You're his apple, the apple of his eye right now. When all the rest of the people, God, you're God's favorite. Would you hit your neighbor and say, I'm God's favorite? Well, so am I. Tell him back. Amen. Jeremiah was in a cave and he's lamenting. And he wrote a book about lamenting. He cried a whole bunch. And he's looking through this cave because he shouldn't be living there. And he's looking through this narrow opening, and he's spying out what was once Jerusalem. And it was in shambles now. They'd taken away the sons and daughters into slavery, and they'd take them into bondage. And he was looking through, and he began to weep at this ghost town. Glorious Jerusalem, the center of the earth now, was no longer that. It was just left in rubble. And he begins to lament. He begins to weep over this ghost town. They called him the weeping prophet. And he begins to, he said, when he finally gets through with himself, because depression hits him, yet this I will call, which means I'm going to be thinking of this now because I got to change my mind. And the battle's in the mind, right? Yet I call this to mind. Therefore, I have what? Hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. In other words, I'm still breathing. I still have a life right now. Yeah, I'm still going to be hungry in a moment. Amen. It's not lunchtime yet. I have an appetite. Yeah. For his compassions never what? And they are great. They are new every morning. And great is your faithfulness. God is looking some way to demonstrate his love towards an individual or individuals this morning because they're new every morning. You woke up this morning and it showed the mercy of God, his great faithfulness towards you that you'd have because you woke up and you rose up today. God has a new morning and his faithfulness upon you today. Amen. When the outlook is bleak like it was for Jeremiah, man, when he was depressed, it was so he was so looking at himself. What are we going to do? Woe is me. There's only this much in the account. This is what the doctor says. This is what my future holds. This is what my family's all about. This is my background. When Jeremiah did that, it messed him up so much that he became depressed. They said he was bipolar. He's like needed, but they didn't have medication back then. So all he did was cry, cry, cry. And he wrote a book about lamenting like we're reading right now. Yeah. But when he began to look towards the Lord, see, he probably didn't even have the strength to even raise his head, but his eyes looked up. And he took his eyes off himself. You know what God did? God changed his perspective. And he began to change from, I got to recall how good God's been to me. I got to recall how the hand of God has been upon me and how he's been faithful to me today. And great is his faithfulness towards me. And he announced it to the world. And he announced it, and he rose up out of that cave. And he became the prophet that he should have been today. When I think about myself, it is depressing. But when I think about God, I have hope. How about you? We just got to do the right thing. Yeah. You got to finish what you started. Because Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith today. He's a finisher. Anything that God does, he calls you to persevere. And he calls you to endure, and he calls you to finish today. And so if he began something, he wants you to finish something today. The devil is a liar, but he's also a quitter. He's the Antichrist. Anything, that's why Jesus could announce it is finished. That's why the devil can never announce that. And his spirit roams free throughout the earth, and he wants to make you quit. He wants to make you quit on your marriage. He wants to make you quit on your church. He wants to make you quit in your home and your quit your children, quit your job, quit your education, quit your career. He wants you to quit all that but that's not God's spirit. God's spirit is contrary to that. He said, I'm a finisher. And what I start, you should finish. And what you start, you should finish today. Go out strong, amen. We may not go, we can go first class, amen. But we can't stay as long. Give me a good amen. Hey, you got to leave, buddy, amen. First class is over. The second thought is this, amen. I know that God wants the best for me. Somebody say, hey, this guy's pretty good. He's almost finished. Nobody's going to say it. Okay, I'm going to keep on going. Hey, what a sweet deal that Adam and Eve had. Adam, when I think about them, man, they had all the food that they wanted, right, except that one thing, that one tree. Don't eat that. They could name the animals, and they were tame. The lion, they were petting the grizzlies weren't going to eat them or anything. They were just petting the cat. Yeah. What? And they were naked and unashamed. They weren't afraid, like the reality show. What a show that would have been, right? That would have been so much fun. Just walking. I mean, never having to do laundry, right? Everybody. I think it would have been. I mean, but that's me, amen. I'm redeemed. I don't know about you. I'm not thinking wrong things. I don't know about you. I'm in church, amen. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are all what? No? No, they're yes. Are y'all here this morning? Yeah. No matter how many promises God has made, they are all yes. Yes. All the promises, all the things God has said, they're yes for you. God wants you to have provision in your life. God wants you to own your home. He wants you to be debt-free. He wants you to have the future that you've... It's finished, amen. Salvation is nothing that you can do or work up. It's the grace of God. Salvation is nothing that... Well, you're a sinner saved by grace, so all you got to do is believe. Isn't that great? You get the easy way out. Jesus took the hard work and he finished it for you. There's relief from my struggles. There's relief from my failures, from my toiling, from my brow sweating now, and I have the victory because it is finished. Jesus has given me success on this earth, right, everybody? In Matthew 7:11, thank God for 7:11. Thank God, oh heaven, thank God for 7:11. Amen. Matthew 7:11, thank God for 7:11. I'm a child of God. Amen. I'm no longer. If you then thought you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Everybody here is a good mom and dad. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. How much more will your Father in heaven give you good gifts to those that ask? There's a miracle in the house because God hasn't been really asked the way he should by you for your provision today. All of us, again, are fathers and mothers that would provide or give our very, very... You ever notice the little jerk that everybody knows he's a jerk? Of course, he's not your son, but you know him. That guy, or the little girl that, you know, she's just a terrible little person and she does wrong. But to that mom and dad, that girl is special, right? But everybody else knows that she's troublemaker, right? But they don't look at her that bad, amen? They say, oh, yeah, they know, but hey, that's Mijo, man. That's Junior. He's going to be okay. Everybody else, you know, get that kid out of here. But everybody else, it's not, I'm glad he's crying right now. He deserves it, right? It's a boy that did real good in sixth grade, the story goes. And back when Kmart was around, those were the glory days, right? Daddy told him, hey, you can have anything you want at this Kmart because you did so good with your grades. So we're going to go to Kmart. The little boy was sixth grade. He didn't really comprehend everything of what money was. And really his dad didn't either, but his dad was ready to bless him. The little boy got, back in the day, a little cassette tape. Young people, cassette tapes were these things that we used to listen to. They were like our playlist, and they weren't on your phone. Anyway, but he got a cassette tape player. And it cost Dad about $20 or whatever. It was on Blue Light Special. It came out. Blue Light Special, remember that? And he got that, and he said, is that all you want? He said, Daddy, this is awesome. I always wanted one. He walked away out there like a king, you know, with a cassette player, making tapes, and so we're listening to his music, and sort of thing. See, but if he really would have known what Daddy had in his pocket, see, Daddy had $1,000 in his pocket because he was ready for his son to ask anything in that Kmart, he would have got him. And he also brought a checkbook. Also, he had a checkbook in his house that he would have been able to write out a check if $1,000 wasn't going to cover what Kmart was going to spend. And so here's where I take it today. We're asking God for these little things sometimes, and God wants to bless you not only with a fishing pole, but he wants to bless you with the whole lake. All right, Lord, I just want to fish. I want to be able to eat. No, God wants to bless you with the whole property. Amen. God, all I want is a golf club. He wants to bless you with the whole golf club, the whole club. Give you everything. And that's what sort of God, we ask, we dumb down God, and we dumb down our prayers, and God is saying, ask of me. I'll give you what you ever imagined, the dream in your heart that you have for your life. Ask of me and I'll give it to you because I'm a good father. I'm a perfect father. Amen. I want you to complete the assignment of God for your life today. God has an assignment that he's given you, the thumbprint of God. Nobody else has that thumbprint like you, and God can only complete it through you. It will go better if you do it. Now, somebody else might be able to do it, but only you can do it with distinction. See, a whole bunch of people could have married, a whole bunch of other guys could have married Irma, but I got her. And because of that today, amen, because of that today, I can only be her husband, and I can do it the right way to be her husband. A lot of people may have been Andrew and Rebecca's dad and mom, you know, but Irma and I are called to be her dad and mom. Other guys can probably pastor this church and do effectively and preach and do all the stuff that's supposed to do, but I'm called to preach. I'm called to be the pastor of this church. Yeah. You're called to do what you're called to do. You're called to make that dream happen in your life that no one else can do. You're given that particular DNA to do. What is it that God's called you to do? Do it and discover it by God today. Finally, this, I know that God has a plan for me today. It's no accident in the hand of God that I'm in this place this morning. It's no accident today that I'm going to live for God today. When our children were born, they gave me that thing, that instrument, like a big scissor thing to cut the umbilical cord. But I wanted to cut the wrong thing with Andrew, and they said, no, don't cut that. And so they had to take it away from me because, you know, you have a baby being born. It's like you're in another zone, man. I was like, so I was kind of crazy during that time, and I had to just hold Andrew, didn't drop him that time and held on to him. I remember calling my dad about the plan of God and how it always refreshes me. Dad was alive then, and I called him. Our firstborn was Rebecca, and I called Dad. First person I called was my mom and dad. They weren't with us because of distance, Corpus, San Antonio. And my dad's words, he always knew the right words to say. Dad told me on the other line, I said, hey, Dad, we have a little girl. We named her Rebecca. And Dad voiced back on the other line. He said, congratulations, Daddy. When my dad called me Daddy, boy, just something happened to me. I don't know what happened to me. I can't wait to use it on my son to tell my daughter congratulations the same way. I'm going to repeat what my dad said. Because it showed me that God loved me. His plan was much bigger than I could ever imagine. Then I was now a father to two beautiful children and how God was going to use me as a dad. How about you guys? Yeah? Yeah. That's why the shifting and what happens about God is with us even during the seasons that we lose heart. 2 Corinthians and Paul announced to the Corinthian church, therefore I will not lose heart during those times that, God, where are you at? Where's the plan of God? Though outwardly we're wasting away. Boy, aren't we? We're getting older, yeah? Look at the pictures that you used to look so good in, yeah? Yet, this is the good news. Come on, ladies, amen. Come on, y'all are with me, right, ladies? The ladies of faith here. Yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. And if you really get good, it affects the outside. Give me a good amen, yeah? For our light and momentary affliction troubles are achieving for us the eternal glory that far outweighs all of them. Yeah, God's going to bring you through it today. God's going to bring you through it today. There was a woman with the issue of blood, and her issue was she had to even go by herself today. She went by herself because somewhere, maybe there was a husband waiting at home. Somewhere there was children maybe. She was separated 12 years from them, and she had to go by herself to get hers. You and your life today will answer to God. I'm glad I'm married. I'm glad that I have sons and daughters. Yeah, a son and daughter, and spiritual sons and daughters in this room. But ultimately, just like you and I will stand alone and give an account for what I chose to do, how I reached out to Jesus. When those moments of truth were presented to my life, what I did for God, and how I acted and responded to God. And so will you. Well, I was part of the church. The church isn't going to answer. You'll answer today. And you will go by yourself, and it'll be okay. It'll be that moment that you get that reward and you get the blessing of God. But we want to answer right. We want to do what God's called us to do, right? Everybody is an individual here. I can't bank on my daddy's religion. I drive my father's Oldsmobile, right, anymore. I got to have my own way. I got to do my own thing with God, and so do you today, amen? And that's why the preacher used to also say this, when you're going through hell, keep going. Just keep going. Amen. There needs to be some perseverance, some endurance. Amen. God, you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. Amen. We're going to get through this. We're going to be all right. Hit your brother or sister. You're going to be all right, bro. Tell him. You're going to be all right, sister. You're going to be all right, mama. You're going to be all right, son, today. Amen. Yeah, you're going to be all right. Finally, the scripture says this today in Philippians. Let's shout it together. Come on, like we ate some good tacos, breakfast tacos this morning. Anybody eat a Pop-Tart? Yeah, that one guy. So he has a ticket. He can say it softer today. On three. One, two, three, go. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you. when Jesus hung on that cross and he said and he declared to the world, it is finished. It was finished. On his worst day, he said it was finished. So you on your worst day, you on your worst season, you in your worst trial, you on the worst health news that you've ever heard, you can say it is finished. God has completed something in my life so I can walk in the abundance of God. All of us, again, have issues and we may be labeled, but I'm no longer that person. I've touched Jesus today. I'm about to touch him. I'm about to receive what God. If there's breath in your lungs today, you can finish strong. You say, well, I'm too young. I'm too old. If you get God involved in your life, you can finish strong. You say, well, I'm not qualified. If you get God in your life, you can qualify. Do you understand that today? But you got to get God involved because he helps you to finish in your life strong today. The Holy Spirit lives within each of you, and it causes you to rise. In 3 days, a dead body rose up. That same Spirit lives within you. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives within you today, and it causes you to become not a victor, but a victim now. A victim, not a victim, but a victor today. Amen. Anybody named Victor in the room? Amen. You messed me up today. Amen. The Holy Spirit today lives within you, and it causes you to rise, and it causes you to finish strong. And I speak that over your life. I want to prophesy right now over your lives that you're going to finish strong. You're going to do all the things that God's called you to do in your lifetime. You're not going to finish weak, amen. You're going to finish strong in life today. The second season of depletion, amen, is going to be made up with a season of abundance. You will finish strong. You'll do all the things that God has called you to do today in the name of Jesus today. Why don't you rise to your feet right now and receive God's goodness? Amen. Thank you, Father. We lift our hands in the sanctuary right now. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We even put our countenance up with our eyes closed today. My head is up, Lord. My eyes are closed. My hands are extended towards heaven. And I receive the blessings of God right now, not only for my life, Lord, for my generations to come right now. God, you're doing something long in my life, Lord. Yeah, you're going beyond my little prayer. You're causing something of generational blessing to happen right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You're that Father right now that provides, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. God the Father would announce to you right now as your hands are lifted, if you ask of me, I will give you the nations for your inheritance. So God's just not into just your house. He wants to do more than you've ever expected. Thank you, Lord. You're going through something today in this room as a believer in Jesus, and you need some endurance today. You need some perseverance. You see, when is this suffering going to end? And why isn't God moving? You've asked those questions. You're just being set up. There's a flip that's about to happen. God's about to flip this situation. Thank you, Lord. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Would you lift your hand just a little bit as your eyes are closed, just a little bit higher right now so I can receive? Yes, love it. Yeah, hands are lifted up everywhere. Thank you, Lord. Father, would you touch the people of God? Would you minister to them? I speak wholeness right now over every dream that they have, Lord. They're believing for great things in their life, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're the releaser of dreams. Bless them abundantly. Thank you, Lord. They shall not quit, God, in the name of Jesus. There's endurance upon them. There's perseverance. Thank you for the hand of God upon their dream, Lord, that you've given them. Thank you, Jesus. As I continue to pray, your hands right now are down, and I just continue to pray with me. You're far away from God. You haven't connected. If your heart stopped beating right now, you're not sure about your eternity, and you want to be. At Living Faith, I don't embarrass you. I don't call you up front. Nobody does that here. What we do ask, though, is if your hand is lifted at this very moment right now because you need God, you're far away from him, you just say yes to Jesus. I'll pray for you. I'll lead you in a prayer. You pray right where you're at. If that's you, would you lift your hand high? You're far away from God. You want to come close? Amen. Just making sure. Anyone in the house? This is your moment right now. Father, apparently everyone is saved in the house. Thank you for redemption coming to this house, Lord. Thank you. We've equipped the saints for ministry. We've told them, God, from your word, what they're supposed to do. Now they're out to live it, God. They're going to live this message this week. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord. We worship you and we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's bless the Lord. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. As you rest your bodies and Christina comes, our youth pastor comes, I want you to rest your bodies. There's a connection card in front of you. You can sit down, have a seat real quick. We're going to be out of here hopefully within 10 minutes. Is that okay? Can you give me 10 more minutes? Nobody said amen, so I guess you're not. Okay. There's a connection card in front of you. If you have a special prayer request this week, we take those real serious at Living Faith. We want to pray for you. Would you do that and be able to do that? Before Christina speaks, I have special guests in the house. Blaine and Deb Heron, if I'm pronouncing that right, you can correct me. They're great pastors out of Oklahoma that pioneered a church and planted a church in Oklahoma. Well, they came in unexpectedly, and they sat with us kind of like, you ever see like the, remember, like, I'm not going to use David Letterman because y'all are another generation. Like, somebody's in the audience, like, kind of as a movie star, and they don't even get called up, but they're, like, they pan the audience, and there's Sylvester Stallone in the audience, man. Well, not that we had Rocky here, but we had some good people here. And they've taken the assignment after many years of being in Oklahoma. They're still young. They've come to, in our district, the Mid-South District of Four Square, they've come up to head up our ministry development, coordination, and plus they're going to do our mission outreach. So these are very important people to our district. They've transplanted themselves from Oklahoma after many years, and they've now come to San Antonio. This is going to be their home. And so they're our special guest here. And how I knew about it was when I saw them this morning, and I said, thank God that they're here. But I want to introduce them. Would you come up to the platform? Both of you are, one of y'all, whoever you, welcome them. They're pastors, they're a blessing. And I wanted them to greet you and tell a little bit about what you do. Again, they're a blessing to us. Again, receive them. Give them a good hand. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Welcome. You guys have been so gracious to us. We came in this morning as guests, and we had several people introduce themselves to us and welcome us. And, you know, that's really a special thing for us to be, transplanted from where we're at. Now we're part of San Antonio. And this is like, for us, like the promised land, you know, because you can't find a bad place to eat, you know, and it's just been great. As your pastor said, we were senior pastors in Oklahoma for nearly 25 years from the same church. And the Lord began to do some things in our hearts that we were supposed to transition. And so in the last six or eight months, we've had about eight major transitional things happen. My son got married. He graduated from college. My daughter graduated from high school. We took the new position. We resigned from our old position. And so just many, many things that have happened in our lives that have just uprooted us. We lived in the same house for 20 years, in the same city for 25 years. And so now everything's new to us. Tomorrow we will have been married 29 years. And Pastor, there's not going to be any headaches, I hope. So, you know what I'm saying? Hopefully you were listening to the message, right? And anyway, this is my wife, Deb. She'll tell you a little bit about our kids. You know, all that said, you guys, I've been right where you're at as a person. And I come out of a lot of hardship in my life, a lot of things, a lot of trials and tribulations. You know, I've been in jail. I've been, you know, locked away. I know about all that. I know about addiction. I know about the struggle of all that. And I know what Jesus can do as well. And I know the power of the Holy Spirit. And I know how he can transform people's lives. If he can do that for me, he can definitely do that for you. So, amen.
Well, it's funny because I'm like his opposite. Because I grew up in church. So I was like the youth that are sitting there. And so, you know, for years I thought, well, I don't have this great testimony. And you know, what has the Lord really done for me? And I don't remember, it's been a long time ago, but I don't remember if someone spoke this to me, if the Lord showed it to me, but the same grace, the same love, the same power that kept me and kept me pure and kept me and helped me was the same power, the same love, and the same grace that rescued him. Amen. It's the same. So that's a testimony. So for you youth that are growing up in the church, you know, there'll come a day, if it hasn't already come, where you'll think, you know, why do I serve the Lord? Who is he to me? Who's he to me? And he'll begin to show you as you search. So just a word. But yes, we've come here. We've had major things starting in February. I mean, we should write a pamphlet. Maybe it's a book now. But I keep looking at Blaine going, you know, we're not on vacation. We live here. It's like awesome. So, but we've got three great kids. 23, he just got married in June to a girl that the Lord sent. It was the answer to every mother's prayer. So keep praying it, ladies and gentlemen. And then my second son is 21, and he is my actor. He's in Wichita, Kansas right now. He's in the process of completing his third show, and he's getting ready to do his fourth show, Mamma Mia, which we're really excited because it's a paid gig. He's getting money for the show, so we're excited. But he'll be a senior at UCO in Edmond, Oklahoma, graduating with theater major. And then my daughter, who is my youngest, is 18, just turned 18, and is starting her college adventure at Oklahoma City Community College. She's going to be rooming with her brother, so that'll be fun. But all my kids are going to be in Oklahoma City, so it's one trip, one fun time, and we're just celebrating being here and having this change in our life and excited to serve our district and just be a blessing to whoever. So it's good to see the front sides of you instead of the back sides of you. So just, you're in a great place. You know, the Lord doesn't need your worship. Coming Sunday is for you. It's building you up. It's encouraging others by having you there. So don't neglect coming and bring someone with you. So we're glad to be here. Thank you.
One more thing. Make sure to pray for your pastors, you guys. I mean, you have no idea what it's like to hold that weight of the church on your shoulders. And I know what that's like. And we need to pray for them because they're a blessing to you and to our community. So thank you, pastors.
Thank you all. Thank you. Give them a big hand. They're choice people. I can't help but to think how God sends us the very, very best for our seasons. And we have overseers that watch us and bless us, and not just to watch us, but to have a relationship with us. And these are people of relationship. You can already tell in the first few moments of just, again, meeting them briefly in other venues, but Blaine in other venues. But now, thank God, he's near. Amen. So we can have some good lunch, man.